thing my mom used to do, do working 3-4 jobs. Every Sunday she had me in church. And I praise the Lord for that. Amen.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm not gonna be before you long. I'm gonna dive in the word right away, but I got two disclaimers. Disclaimers number one, I'm from the little island called Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm, amen.
Little Caribbean island.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I go into the word, my accent comes out. Amen?
It's all right. That's all right.
So sometimes I know you guys, what did he say? But yeah, you're going to catch it along as we go. Amen?
Amen?
And my second disclaimer is a matter of, you know, talking about my past in terms of where I grew up. I saw a lot of violence, a lot of killings in my neighborhood, literally next to me. And one of the things that you couldn't do as a youth for me growing up there was cry.
Mm.
Because crying was showing a sign
weakness.
Of weakness.
Yeah, yeah.
As a man in that environment. And I got to introduce to the Lord. And from being introduced to the Lord, there's nothing more that he every time I'm preaching his word or talking about, I cry.
Jesus.
And understanding that in his weakness is where I am now strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my disclaimer for you, number two. So you see me crying, it's not tears of sadness,
yeah,
but just tears of joy.
Tears,
amen,
of joy.
Of where he brought me from, amen? So
yeah,
if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Judges chapter 20.
That's good.
Judges chapter 20. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't have it, say hold up.
Hold up.
All right, there's no shame in going to the index of the Bible and finding where Judges is and then turning your page. There's no shame in opening the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
So if you have it, say amen one more time.
Amen.
And Judges chapter 20, I'm going to read one verse, verse 18. Judges 20, verse 18. And the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of the Benjamins? And the Lord said, Judah shall go first. You may be seated, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord Heavenly Father, for your word, O Lord Heavenly Father. May it fall on good ground, O Lord Heavenly Father. May I decrease right now, Lord, and may you increase, Lord, and have your way in this place today, Lord Heavenly Father. Lord, may souls be restored, O Lord Heavenly Father. Lord Heavenly Father, may people leave here different, O Lord Heavenly Father. Hide me behind the cross. And have your way this day and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. If I was to title this sermon, I would title it, Send Judah First. Send Judah First. I have learned in my Christian walk that it's not an easy walk. Because it seems like you're either just coming out of a battle, about to go in a battle, or you're actually in a battle right now.
That's right.
And after
That's
one
right.
battle, it just seems to be another battle. And as soon as you get out of one situation, seems there's another situation on the horizon. Is there anyone who know what I'm talking about? Have you been in some battles, and after one battle, it just seems like, and as a child of God, you think you're going to be immune to battles, but it seems like battles are always finding you. As you follow the Lord, you think things would have gotten easier, but for some reason we are always in a battle. And it could be a battle on your job, a battle in your relationship, a battle in your finances, a battle in a situation where it comes and it seems like waves upon waves of battles are coming. But here I am, at times in your life you will have to fight. At times in your life, I'm saying you will have to fight. At times, you would have to face situations head on. You would have to face it. And the important thing about it is that it's not the situation itself, but how you respond to the situation that you're facing. Because sometimes things that God has for us, there are enemies. There are enemies that want us to stop us from getting what he has for us. We have to fight for the things that God has for us. Let me put it. In the text today, we see the Israelites about to engage in a battle. And not just any battle. It's a battle against their own folks. It's a battle against their own people. Yes, sometimes your own people, you have to fight. Sometimes you got to get up and fight your own people in your own family. It's your own family that wants to stop you from what God has for you. So in the text, they inquire of God, who shall we send first? And the Lord said, Judah shall go first. And to fully understand the scope of the text, we got to understand the response of the Lord. Amen? And we have to adopt the principle of first mention. So every time that a word is first mentioned in the Bible, that's where the original meaning comes from. Amen? So then it took me back to Genesis 29. I'm going to read it for you. Genesis 29, just verse 32. And Leah conceived and bare a son. And she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord had looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord had heard that I was hated, he had therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she had conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband join me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, I will name him Levi. And she conceived again. It's all in the text. Another son. And she said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. And she stopped bearing after that. So the text indicates that Judah means praise. Amen? Judah means praise. I did not read the entire text, so let me summarize it for you. We have Jacob, who stole his brother Esau's blessing for a bowl of soup. I'm just going to mention that. For food, brothers, that's all I'm going to say. Which in turn enraged Esau so much that he plotted to kill his brother. And Jacob flees for his life, goes out to the wilderness, not sure of where he's going, and he ends up in the house of Laban, who's Jacob's mother's brother, so essentially he ends up in his uncle's place. Amen?
That's right.
So we have Jacob, who's out in the wilderness, hungry, thirsty, and happened to find his uncle's place. There he meets one of Laban's daughters, Rachel. And the Bible says that the moment he met her,
the moment
he kissed her and he cried. I'm going to say that. He kissed her and he cried. I know that brother was, he kissed her and he cried. He was in a messed up situation. I'm just saying. Brother was almost in love at first sight. So he ended up working for Laban. And now an arrangement was struck up where he would work for 7 years, and as compensation, he would get to marry his daughter Rachel. Amen? And the Bible says the man was so in love that 7 years seemed like just a few days. I'm just saying. 7 years for the brother seems like just a few days for him. So 7 years has passed, and he requested payment now. So Laban had a big feast, as was the custom, and then Jacob would go in after the feast to consummate the marriage. Amen?
Right.
After having all his wine and all the feast, he would go in. But instead, Laban sent Rachel. He sent his oldest daughter, he sent Leah. And Jacob did his thing that night. And when he woke up in the morning, what he saw surprised him. Amen? It's right there in the text. I'm not making it up. It's right there. What he saw the morning after surprised him. Amen? So he was furious And he went to Laban and said, why did you do this to me? Why did you trick me? So Laban explained it was the custom that the oldest daughter got married first. So if you work another 7 years, just work another 7 years, you're going to have Rachel. So he went from original agreement of 7 to actually 14 now. Amen?
Right.
And he still proceeded because why? He was in love. He was in love. Amen? I'm just going to leave it right there. So the brother already got 2 wives. So he struck another deal. And during that, all this one asked for is Leah's input. Nobody asked for her input. Just imagine that for a second. Leah, nobody asked for her input. Leah, the older daughter, nobody inquired about her feelings. In fact, let's look at what the Bible says about Leah. The Bible says Leah was tender-eyed.
Yes, yes.
Tender-eyed. Let me put it. This could mean poor in eyesight, but I believe it was the Bible's poetic way of saying Leah was not a pretty woman. All right? Because she was, if when you see a woman, brothers, and all you could say she got nice eyes, there's something wrong. I'm just saying, amen? And he asks how she looked, and all he can say is, she's tenderized. But look at the description of Rachel.
Well,
the Bible says in Genesis 29:18, Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful.
Yeah.
And all the brothers saying good already, right? She had a lovely figure. And not just she had a figure, she was beautiful. Amen? So she not only had that body, she had the face to go with it. The Bible says that Rachel and Jacob loved Rachel. Have you ever been overlooked? And let's look at Leah for a second. Have you ever been overlooked? Have you ever been passed down? Have you ever been rejected? No matter how you spin it, when you encounter rejection, it hurts. Rejection that someone left you. Rejection to being scared. Rejection they say they don't need you. Rejection, your services are no longer needed. You come to the job and they just tell you, you know what? They give you that pink slip and say, your services is no longer needed. Rejection doesn't feel good. Rejection from the promotion. All of a sudden, you're training the person that got to be promoted over you. And you're the trainer, amen? Rejection. Rejection of the job from your supervisor. All of a sudden now you become the subordinate. I'm talking about rejection is never good. When you get that letter that says, thank you for your interest, but after careful application review, we have chosen to go with somebody else.
Yeah.
Have you ever been rejected? Amen? That's what I want to know today. Have you ever been rejected? But you have to be faithful in your relationship or in your marriage. You have done all you can, given all you can, to find out that the other person don't love you the way that you think they should love you. Have you ever been rejected? And rejection hurts. So imagine Leah in all of this. And she's being rejected. And then she go ahead and she made some sons. Feel like you're not worth anything. You have been rejected. So we see Leah have been rejected and she got pregnant. And she had a son and she called him Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord had seen her affliction. And sometimes, you know, we what we do, we take it upon the Lord to see something and fix it. Amen? So she called him Reuben. And said, surely the Lord has seen my affliction. And now my husband would love me. Side note for the lady, not because you got a kid for him, he gonna love you. Not because you bought him a kid, he gonna love you. Amen?
Amen?
But she conceived again. And this time she named the son Simeon. And she said, the Lord has seen that I was hated. So because the Lord has seen I was hated, maybe now he gonna love me. he still didn't love her. But she conceived one more time again and named him Levi. And this time she said, my husband would join me. So she went from moving that he would love her, that he would stay. That's how desperate she was. From the fact that he would love me to now that maybe he gonna stay. But she conceived again another son. And this time, she said, this time, you know what? Forget about loving me. Forget about staying with me. This time, I'm going to praise the Lord. This time, I'm going to give him some praise. This time, it's not about me. It's about him. This time, I'm going to give him all that I got. And all that I got is praise. You can love me if you want, but I'm going to praise him. You can talk about me if you want, but I'm going to praise him. You can tell me all kinds of stuff, but I'm going to praise him. This time, I'm going to praise him. So I named him Judah. So she named him Judah. And all I'm trying to tell us today is that Judah was born as a means of praise. I know we had the song that says we come to praise the Lord, and we all in sync today. We came to praise the Lord. But let me give you 3 points, and then I'll be out of here. Amen? Amen. So they inquire of the Lord, and he says to them, send Judah first. And may I suggest to you, when you look at the text, what God has given this is a principle to send Judah first, because Judah himself was not there. Amen? And let me go in.
Right.
The Israelites had a situation. They're in battle. They are not fighting the Canaanites anymore. They are in the promised land. This is the promised land, right? You've already gone through all that you have gone through. Now you're in the promised land and you still got to fight, right? You're not fighting the Canaanites. You're fighting the tribe of the Benjamin, your own people, who performed the wicked act. They committed rape and murder, all right? So they inquired, and the Lord said, first thing first is to send Judah. Send Judah. Sometimes in our lives, we don't always put the importance of the first thing first. And let me break it down what I mean by the first thing. You got to put things in its proper context, in its proper order. Jesus understood this more than anything. He gives his first sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. Amen? In Matthew, Jesus was teaching, and he taught a lot about first. He said, if you want to offer something to God and you have something against your brother, you should first go to your brother, all right, and get one accord with them and come back and submit your offering to me. He said, first thing you do is go to your brother, right? He put in things in order, all right? Someone wanted to speak to him about a speck in someone else's eye. He said, first, pay attention to the log in your own eye, right? Then come back, all right? First, pay attention. So we're talking about the law and order of first, amen? Amen? And then he said, instead of being caught up in the material thing, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the righteousness and everything else will be added on to you. So there is a teaching of first and what's in order, amen? And all the things have been added to you. He was teaching on how to put first things first. And then he went into someone, came up to him and said, Jesus, I want to follow you, but I need to handle some stuff. And Jesus said to him, if you want to follow me first, you got to take care. You got to follow me first. Then everything else will be handled. Amen? Because you got to put priorities in place. We have to prioritize the Lord. Amen? We can't put him on the back burner and then look to do what we got to do. Amen? We got to send our praise first. We got to do what we got to do for the Lord first. Amen? So there's a priority. There's an order. It is our praise. He shows up that give us strength to give us the courage, give us the will to fight. It's in our praise that we get the will. If you want the victory, if you want to put first thing first, here's the thing, you got to put your worship first. You can't wait till you come to church to start a worship. Your worship should start from home. Your worship should be in the cars you're coming down. This is just the overflow of your worship. Your worship should be in your house. Your worship should be in your shower as you shower. Your worship should be as you cook it. Your worship should be in your house and you just doing you, and you got to worship him.
Amen.
In spirit and in truth.
Yes, sir.
I remember my mom, as I told you, she's single, handily brought us, you know, four kids. And I could never understand why she was singing and praising all the time as a young person. But as I grew up, I understand, because I know when, the funny thing is, I know when my mom was upset. Because it's even then, the praise, the words, she started humming. Because now she's so upset that she, no words could come out, but she's like, mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. And she would be going at it, and I would be like, well, I know not to kind of go around her that time, but at the same time, it always like, why is she always worshiping? Right? And I would see her struggling as a youth, not really understanding. And I know she's praying and worshiping. But it's until I get in my adult age, I understand when you have that relationship with God, where that worship takes you.
Yes, sir.
It takes you out of your present situation.
Well,
into the presence of God. Where you don't take, nothing could unbug you. Nothing could disturb you. It takes you into that presence where you know where you're going to go.
Amen.
It takes you out of your situation spiritually and put you in the presence of the Lord and understand that what he has for you is greater than anything that you're facing. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm just trying to tell you what worship is going to do for you. So principle number one, praise fights against external enemies. They spoke to God about fighting external circumstances. Whenever God has something in store for you, there will always be enemies that want to keep you from getting what he has for you. Anytime God has promised something for you, I can guarantee that there is something that's going to be keeping you from getting what he has for you. In fact, one preacher once told me, he said, before every promised land, there is a wilderness. Before every promised land, there is a wilderness. You're going to go through some stuff.
That's good. Amen. Amen.
And I promise you, if you haven't been through any, keep on living.
Amen.
Keep on living. Because you're going to be going through some stuff that only God could bring you out of. Amen?
Amen.
And we know the weapons are not carnal. We know we wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness, and we have a weapon to fight with. If we only praise him first, we will understand how powerful this weapon is. Amen? So we got to praise him. Praise means he is with you when you're praising him. If he's with you, then he is fighting your battle for you. He can't help but be in the midst of praise. Amen? So you got to send Judah first. I don't know what you're going through today, but whatever it is, the recipe for success in it is send Judah first. Send your praise first. Despite what you're going through, send your praise first. Amen?
Amen.
You see, praise gives you glory to a certain entity. I know, you know, I love how the world kind of puts it, you know, I praise the higher person. They don't want to call the name, you know what I mean? So they try to glorify it with everything else that they could, you know, the higher cause or higher power. But his name is Jesus. I'm just letting you know. His name is Jesus. He stood there for me. Amen? He paid a sin for me. He paid the price. And that's the one who we praise. And amen? Because when you give him praise, God is essentially making declaration that God is in control of my situation. Praise requires surrender.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what's happening around you. I'm going to give him praise. My bills could not be paid, but I'm going to give him praise.
Yeah.
My health may not be all that, but I'm going to give him praise.
Yeah.
My situation may look bleak, but I'm going to give him praise. I could have a bad doctor report, but I'm still going to give him praise. Do I have any worshipers? Do I have any praises that are going to still give him praise? Despite what they're going through, praise is what I do.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
It requires full submission to fight the external enemies. But praise, principle number two, also fights internal enemies. Or in this case, Judah fights the internal enemies. The enemy's enemy, I think you get it. The enemy's is enemy. Touch your neighbor and say, the enemy is enemy. I'm going to say it again. The enemy is the enemy. Because sometimes you got to fight against yourself. Sometimes you got to hold back some stuff that you want to tell people. Some people will ever piss you off that you really want to tell them. The old you want to come out and just slap them. But I got to talk to myself sometimes. Amen. Because the enemy could be the enemy. The people of Rivers found out that it's the same tribe that's in the inner circle that they're fighting against. Israel is not fighting against the Canaanites.
Right.
They're not fighting against the Amalekites. They're not fighting against the Midianites. They're not fighting against any other ites but their own ites. Sometimes you got to fight yourself. Have you ever had a battle with yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had to fight the doubt, fight the disbelief or the unbelief, fight the worry, fight? Because every day you wake up, you don't feel like doing something. I'm sure some of you didn't wake up thinking you was looking to come to church today. And you had to fight yourself to get up, fight yourself to put up some clothes, fight yourself to be here. And when you're being here now, you didn't come just to sit on your blessed assurance. Tell me, you come to praise the Lord. You already made it here. Fight. So they had a battle internally, and the Apostle Paul says it this way. The good that I want to do, that's what I don't do. But the bad that I don't want to do, that's what I keep doing. That's the Apostle Paul. You got to fight yourself. I got to fight this battle with myself. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how much times you'll be coming to church. In fact, you can't come to church one day of the month and expect that's the battle that you fight, because you're facing yourself every day.
Amen.
The battle is every day. In fact, even as a preacher, as a man of God, I have to contain my enemy.
Yeah.
You know, I going to work, and you know, there was a little accident when I went into the store, a car accident, and you know, two cars had crashed. So I was like, okay, let me see what's going on, make sure everybody okay. I'm in Compton, right? And three brothers at the side there, and apparently it's their car, and they're at the side, and I'm looking at it. One of the brothers turned to me like, "What you looking at?" So my immediate response was, I'm looking wherever I want to look. I'm being honest with you, you know. Do I have any real folks in the house? Right?
That's into you.
Right? So the brother now, the other brother stand up. So I got three of them, and they're all looking at me. And one stepped up. He's like, well, go ahead and look again. So I looked again. All right? I did. I'm in Compton, y'all. I'm in Compton. I'm only in California about 2 years at this time, and I'm in Compton, right? So I looked again, and he just looked at me. And I looked at him, and the same time I looked at him, my spiritual mind kicked in. What in the world are you doing? That's what it told me. I started talking to myself.
That's right.
Right? And I had to contain the enemy, because I know it was about to go on. I didn't care if it was three brothers, four brothers, but my enemy wanted to uprise. Amen? And I had to contain my enemy. And all I'm saying to you is that sometimes you got to fight yourself. Amen? You got to fight yourself. Somebody on the job you want to cuss out, just fight yourself. Just look at them and like, if you only know. If I wasn't saved, thank God I'm saved, because you would not have been saved today. Amen? You got to fight every day. I got to fight and say every day, Nigel, don't go here. Nigel, come back here. Nigel, don't do this. Because sometimes the enemy wants to rise up. Amen?
Amen.
I just got to keep it real this morning. Amen? So they went up and they fight their own, because if you don't fight the enemy on the inside, you'll never, never get to your destiny. Hear me? If you don't fight the enemy on the inside, you would never get to your destiny. So unless you deal with jealousy, unless you deal with pride, unless you deal with doubt, unless you deal with fear, unless you deal with everything that's stopping you, that judgmental spirit, you will never get what the Lord has for you. Touch your neighbor one more time and say, the enemy is the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. You see, a lot of problems is because we never handle the enemy on the inside. You think you're ready for what God has for you? You better handle the enemy on the inside. And it takes coming to church more than just once a month. You're just passing through. Because every day, you in your own head. Every day, you're talking to yourself. And you got to watch what you talk to yourself. Watch what you say to yourself. Amen?
Amen.
The enemy is enemy. Amen?
Amen?
Principle number 3, and I'm done. Praise liberates you. Or praise moves us from the present situation. It moves us from where we are and puts us spiritually to where God wants us to be. Therefore, I can't stay stuck on where I am when God has already shown me where I'm going. When Paul and Silas was locked up in prison, the Bible said they were praising God. They were in the most inner cell. In fact, the cell had a few levels, and they were in the bottom level.
Yeah.
Their feet were shackled down to the floor. They were beaten and locked up. And God still did not step in and do anything. But when they realized that they did not lock their mouth up, and they began to praise, and the Bible said there was an earthquake. And in the earthquake, the shackles was removed. Amen? Praise liberates you. They were beaten. They were locked up. God didn't do anything. But as soon as they started to praise, he had to just show up. And that's my word for some of you. Some of us are stuck where we are because God is still waiting for our praise. Some of us are still stuck in a rut because God is waiting for us to just give him that praise. Forget about where you are and give him that, open your mouth and give him that praise. We just want to be passive and stuff. We just want to be passive. We let everything happen to us and say the Lord gonna make a way. And we understand that. But we gotta praise him. Because it seems that we are taking a step back. Folks are coming out the closet, and it seems like we're going in the closet. And we just passive and allowing stuff to happen. Amen? We just got to praise him, folks. Don't be passive in your worship. Don't be passive in your praise. That's your best weapon. And Christians are, we just like to glorify, we have the statements and we know all the scripture, right? You ever know someone who just knows all the scripture, give you all the word, but no principle with the word? Oh, the Lord would make a way. I know he would. Oh, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I know that. But how do I apply that? Right? They want to just give you the word. Here's the word. And you should accept it. Here's how you apply it. Praise him. Praise your way out. In closing, in Revelation 5, it reads this. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll.
Yes.
with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seal and open the scroll. But no one in heaven or in earth or under the earth could open it. I wept and I wept because no one was found that could be worthy to open the scroll. Moses couldn't do it.
No.
Abraham couldn't do it.
No.
Jacob couldn't do it.
No.
Even David couldn't do it. Paul couldn't do it.
No.
So he cried, but in verse 5, one of the elders said, don't cry.
Uh-huh.
The lion of the tribe of Judah,
hallelujah,
the root of David,
yes, sir,
his name is Jesus.
Uh-huh.
He came, he was slain, and his blood was purchased for each and every one of us. All I'm trying to tell you is send Judah first. You got to praise him in the nighttime. Praise him in the daytime. Praise him when you're driving your car. Praise him when you got money in the bank. Praise him when you don't got money in the bank. Praise him when things ain't going good. You just got to praise him when you're walking down the street. Don't be afraid to look crazy. You just praise him. I just said it in this way. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchase of God. Born in his spirit. Washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. I just gotta praise him. I can't stop. Sometimes you gotta give him one of those ugly prayers. I don't care if your wig blows off. You just gotta praise him. I don't care if your mascara run. You gotta praise him. You gotta sometimes take it. Because I wasn't always dressed up like this. Sometimes you gotta just take off your shoes and praise him. Is he good to you? Have he been good to you? I was. I came a long way, as I told you. Seen people shot in front of me. I could have been shot. In fact, I remember the very situation where I was walking because my wife had to call me and tell me when it's safe to come home. You know how wives would be calling you and say, come home? My wife would say, don't come home yet. Because it's not safe to come home. Because there's shooting in the neighborhood. And I remember distinctly, I parked my car up and I'm walking. And this guy come around the building, the other building that I was passing, had on a mask, all in black. I remember it distinctly like this day. A bronze strap and an AK-47. I'm literally feet in front of him. And he looked at me. The guys, everybody know in the neighborhood, I'm not one of the guys. Amen. I praise the Lord for that. The guys who was behind me, and they were chilling. Nobody saw him but me. So he looked at me, and all he said to me was, run. So I ran smartly in that direction. I'm not running in the direction of the guys. Amen. And all I heard was shots firing behind me. Didn't know if it was going for me or for, all I know is I was running. And I was never the athletic brother. I'm flat-footed. But I had a speed beyond measure. In fact, I remember distinctly passing a guy cause who was riding on his bike and riding. And I passed him. So he jumped off the bike and started running too. Don't ask me where I got the speed from, but it was the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So I know where I came from. So I could only help but praise the Lord. I know what he got for me is not just here. So I praise the Lord. So my message to you is send Judah first.